We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's April 18th. It is 2024. We have a little three-game day slate of baseball. Nice little refresher slate after the big early slate that had no offense on Wednesday slate. So yeah, nice little slate here. And I'm going to break it down and just kind of go over it. And you guys all really enjoyed when I used PlateIQ the other day. So we're bringing it back. We're going to run it back, show off PlateIQ and break down the slate using PlateIQ. And again, just kind of going through my process of how I approach these slates and how I, you know, start my research. And yeah, so hopefully everyone is having a fantastic Wednesday night over there on YouTube. If you're not watching live, feel free to go to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page and you can check out this video and watch the breakdown using PlateIQ. So again, hope everyone is having a great Wednesday night. What's up, YouTube? Scott, is it viable on a three-game slate for a five-man stack, or do I prefer smaller slacks? I think it depends on the slate. This slate where we have very little pitching, just in general, I think you could do a 5-3, a 4-4, a 4-2-2, a 3-3-2. Like, I think this slate, you could see a lot of offense just overall because the pitching isn't great. So, I mean, you're going to prioritize the little bit of pitching that we have, which isn't much, and just kind of build what makes the most sense. So I'm definitely going to prioritize bats over pitching on this slate. All right, let's get into it, and let's break this one down. We got Texas at Detroit, 8.5 total in this game. Detroit, a slight favorite here at minus 116. You could technically get Texas at like even money right now to win this game, which is wild to me. Jack Leader making his MLB debut. His dad pitched in the bigs for a while. Kenta Maeda on the other side of this one. Kenta Maeda has a few starts this year. He's just not been on many main slates, so we really haven't followed him too much. So let's start here with the rookie Obviously, we don't have any data on him. He'll be making his debut in this one. But we can kind of look at the batters here. But let's look into Jack Leiter first. Good fastball, good slider. The changeup needs a lot of work. Like, he really needs to develop that, like, third pitch. Like, the curveball is decent. The changeup needs to work better. You know, played a little bit last year in AAA. I think he had one start in AAA last year. He's had a couple starts this year. He showed big strikeout stuff in the minors this year. He's had two starts in AAA this year. He has 25 strikeouts in 14 innings. It's just absolutely wild. And then if you look at 2023, he pitched in AA. He had 110 strikeouts in 81 innings in AA last year. 15% swinging strikes with a 30% K rate. The biggest thing for Jack Leiter is, like, he has struggled a little bit with home runs and fly balls. And I mean, even this year, his home runs up. He, you know, it's a very small sample size. But if we look at the larger sample size of his AA, he gave up 1.54 home runs per nine. His walk rate is concerning, but he gives up home runs. So we'll talk about these Detroit bats in just a second. Going to the other side here, we got Kentai Maeda. We got to switch everything over to right-handed. This usually updates around 12 to 2 a.m. on the East Coast, and it'll have the current day stuff and upload the stats from the day before. But hey, we're doing a first look, so we will take what we can, right? Looking at Kentai Maeda, obviously looking at his stats this year, he's just been absolutely awful. ISO way up. Strikeout weight rate down, wOBA way up. And you kind of look at some of the advanced stuff, giving up a lot of hard contact to righties, not generating any whiffs or swinging strikes, giving up a ton of barrels to right-handed hitters as well. And the BABIP is kind of low. So, I mean, just been a, it's been a rough start to the season for Kentai Maeda. And I don't think I want to play him against one of the best offenses in baseball. So looking at the hitters here for Texas. Oh, and I should have said, like, I do like Jack Leiter. I think that you kind of just accept the insane price tag on him and you'll end up playing a little bit of him today. But I just wanted to mention that. I didn't really say it when we were... I kind of broke him down and then really didn't say much after that. So I do like him today. As far as the Texas bats, you know, Kentai Maeda has had a little bit of struggles with, like, right-handed power. So maybe this is the spot Wyatt Langford finally gets going. Adolis Garcia, absolutely love him in this spot. And then I don't mind the lefties. Kentai Maeda, he's been decent against lefties this season. But again, fly balls out of, and, you know, give up a lot of hard contact to lefties last year. Just hasn't given up a lot of barrels to lefties. But you look at some of the matchups, Oakland, Chicago, Minnesota. So I think this is a spot where he's going to struggle against these power lefties like Seager, Evan Carter, and Marcus Semien, that right-handed hitter, very, very solid here. Again, you know, Wyatt Langford, finally, like, his hard hit rates come down a little bit. But I still believe in the talent, and I think that we're going to eventually see him start to hit the ball over the fence. And I mean, this is a great spot for that. As far as the Detroit batters go, again, like, we want to attack home run upside here. Kerry Carpenter finally got around on one and absolutely smashed one on Wednesday. Parker Meadows hit a home run on Wednesday as well. So if you play those cheap lefties, I kind of got off of them throughout the morning on Wednesday, which kind of stinks because they both hit home runs. And those are the two guys that I mentioned yesterday, of course. Riley Green was the other one. But if I'm attacking home runs here, Carpenter, Riley Green, even Torkelson, righty-righty. But I will say, like, from the pitch profile that Jack Leiter has, I expect him to be really strong against right-handed hitters. Like, a good fastball-slider combination for a right-handed pitcher, you're typically going to generate a lot of strikeouts against righties. So, while I like Leiter, it's a three-game slate. So, like, if I end up on, like, one bat against my pitcher, I don't hate it, you know? It's the pitching on the slate's awful. So, all right, we got LA at Tampa Bay, 8.5 total in this game. And Tampa? Yeah, Tampa. Tampa is a 140. We got Griffin, Canning, Ryan Pepiot, and let's break this one down. If you are, like, if you do enjoy PlayDeck U, it is part of the RotoGrinders Premium. I'll drop a link over there in the YouTube chat, and it's a promo that you guys can use to try out the 3-day premium combo. You know, try it out Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend and see if you like it. So, yeah, check that out if you enjoy PlayDeck U. I love PlayDeck U. I think it's the best tool in baseball, and I'm always giving the team ideas to make it better. So we got Griffin Canning on the hill here, so we got to switch everything over to right-handed hitters and Griffin Canning. So Canning this season has definitely struggled to start the year, like just not generating any swinging strikes. Like something's up with him, giving up a ton of hard contact, a lot of barrels, and again just not missing bats. 8.9% swinging strike rate, under a 20% whiff rate. So I think overall, like without digging too much into it here for Griffin Canning, something mechanically might be wrong with him. Like he's not this bad, right? Like he's not like this great end-all pitcher, but he's not this bad. So just kind of looking, like his WOBA is bottom 4%. His slugging is bottom 4%. His contact rate is bottom 10%. Just not like he's generating some whiffs on his changeup, but his fastball is just getting absolutely hammered to start the season. It's down 2 miles an hour on average from last year. I think that's obviously something that we need to note, right? Like, the fastball velocity on average this year is down 2% or 2 miles an hour. That's a lot. Averaging 92.7 compared to his 94.7. His breaking ball velocity is way down as well. So 2 miles an hour is a lot. So a guy that dominated right-handed hitters as far as like swinging strikes and strikeouts last year, maybe the fastball is just kind of hurting. He did have 6 strikeouts against the Red Sox last time out, but I don't necessarily love this spot for Griffin Canning today. Going to the other side here, Ryan Pepiot. I think like this is a guy we're going to end up playing today. I don't know if I feel great about it, but I like the strikeout potential for him. Like he's a guy that can generate strikeouts. And again, once you get past like Trout, you're not too concerned about this lineup overall. So I think by default, needing to play a couple guys, we're going to play him. I absolutely love Mike Trout in this spot. Like you look at the ISO against righties, like he seems to have a little bit of reverse splits. You know, 50% hard contact last year, 52%, 13% barrels last year, 14% barrels. But Mike Trout's just been absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, it's hard not to have interest in him. But yeah, I mean, overall, for me on Pepiot, I think you have to have some exposure to him just because of the bottom half of this lineup. As far as the bats here, I love Mike Trout. You know, I don't know, like, if I'm pitching against the Angels, like, in going into, like, a pitcher's mind, right? I'm completely pitching around Mike Trout every at bat, like, because I'm just not worried about Ohapi and Ward behind Mike Trout. So, I mean, in DFS purposes, I like Trout a lot. Like, he's off to a red hot start. You really just kind of want to see him stay healthy. You know, can he put together a 40 home run plus season? I think the answer to that question is yes, if he can play. If Mike Trout plays 150-plus games, he's in the running for an MVP, and he probably hits 40-plus home runs. So, like, you know, if he can stay healthy, the Angels are desperately needing him to stay healthy for ticket sales alone. But, yeah, I mean, Trout, I mean, I just kind of mess with Ohapi, but, like, he's had good power against right-handed pitching this season, so I don't mind that. Pepiot throws a lot of fastballs. So, I mean, kind of just going here and looking at fastballs, obviously Trout, but Ohapi hits fastballs really well. Look at the strikeout rate for Moniak. Moniak hits the ball either far or strikes out against fastballs. Not the worst thing for DFS purposes, but I mean, this is a guy, Ohapi might be your low owned like catcher option today. Really like that like upside there. But again, you have to be a little concerned about the ballpark too, but you know, we're dealing with a 3-game slate, so you can't worry about it too much. Tampa Bats here against Canning, going down to Griffin Canning. Fastball, changeup, slider guy, so that's always good to kind of look at. We know Rosarena hits fastballs really well. Paredes hits fastballs really well. You know, kind of looking at changeups. Paredes, again, really good against changeups, so this might be a really good spot for Paredes. Really good against sliders, too, so this might be a really good spot just in general here for Paredes, so really like him. Kind of looking at the numbers here on Play.IQ, I really like this spot for Paredes. I mean, I like the Tampa stack. Again, I don't know how many like full stacks I'm going to get to. I'll probably only play like 3 teams on this slate anyway, just because it's so small. And I mean, just the pitching as well is so tough to feel good about playing any 2 of these guys. So might be like a FanDuel slate for me where I only have to play 1 pitcher and do like some 3-3-2 type stacks. But, yeah, anyway, I mean, I like Paredes a lot here. I like Tampa just in general. But the $4,500 price tag on Paredes is nice. You're going to get some cheap bats in the lineup here for both teams. You know, don't mind looking at some of the cheap bets. We finish out the slate. Little 3-game slate. We got my Sox going up against Cleveland, 9.5 total. Boston, a 120. 6 favorite, Carlos Carrasco against an opener for the Red Sox. And then it sounds like Cooper Criswell will come in and, you know, try to eat up maybe 60 to 80 pitches here for the Red Sox. So we'll talk about that. They're going to start. They've done this before with Bernardino, just kind of starting with a lefty and then kind of bringing a righty, mess with the lineup a little bit. But yeah, I mean, as far as Carlos Carrasco goes, I mean, we'll start there, obviously, but Carlos Carrasco has a little bit of strikeout upside, nothing like he used to by any means. And I mean, you look at the Red Sox lineup right here and it's super solid, but if you get to looking at just this season, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. We keep talking about it, just how much the Red Sox are striking out this season in general. So it'd be really interesting to see, like, if Devers plays again. Like, he played, he DH'd on Wednesday, so like, I mean, that was a great sign, but we'll see if he's in there or not. But again, you just look at it and Red Sox are struggling. So again, I think Carlos Carrasco is okay. I don't feel great about any pitcher on the slate, but I mean, Carrasco has shown a little bit of strikeout upside. You want the walks to come down. And that's where he was struggling lefties last year. 238 ISO this year, 397 ISO or WOBA. Last year, he struggled with lefties as well. 384 WOBA, 194 ISO. A lot of hard contact to lefties last year. He has not given up one barrel to a left-handed hitter yet this season. That's going to change. He's giving up too much power to lefties for that not to continue to be a thing, but The walks are the concerning part with Carrasco. It'd be interesting to see what umpire we get behind the plate in this one. Other side, we'll go long-term here with Cooper Criswell because Bernardino, he won't pitch deep into this game. It's not going to be a Bryce Wilson situation here. So, yeah, I mean, overall, when I'm looking at Cooper Criswell, I'm not excited about playing him. I will say, like, he has a little bit of stuff, but, like, it's not great. So, very low strikeout team. I have more interest in the Cleveland Bats than I do in Cooper Criswell today. So, let's talk about those Cleveland Bats. Obviously, they're going to start against a left-handed pitcher here, which definitely hurts the overall, like, upside of Jimenez and Kwan and Naylor and Brennan. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Bernardino goes 5 hitters here to get, like, through Brennan, and then they pull him and bring in Criswell. So you might see might see an inning, or you might see like an inning and a third, or two innings here for Bernardino. But as far as the bats, I mean, I want to attack Cooper Creswell with power from the left side. You know, Ramirez, Naylor, definitely my main options here. Good numbers for Naylor as far as power numbers this season. And even if we look back towards last season, he had good power numbers. Jose Ramirez hitting the ball hard, continues to hit the ball hard against right-handed pitching. So don't mind Jose if you want to pay up at third base. The Red Sox side of this one, I mean, Carrasco's walks could be a huge issue in this spot. You know, like, he starts walking a lot of people, and the Red Sox get some of these guys on, and they can punish you, and they can punish you with left-handed power. So I definitely don't mind playing the Red Sox bats. You know, Carrasco is an option. He's probably like the third or fourth option on the slate, but I mean, it's a three-game slate. That's not saying much. So looking at the hitters here for Boston, I mean, I'm very interested in like the top four or five guys here. The bottom half of this lineup is weak. Connor Wong keeps hitting home runs. I think he had another one, right? Yeah, look at like three home runs over the last five games here for Connor Wong. Like, absolutely smashing, you know, really good. Absolutely crushing like his projections and ownership and stuff here lately. So you love to see that from a catcher, especially when we get a cheap catcher. So yeah, I mean, always can take some shots with Connor Wong here. But yeah, I mean, Devers, Cassis, Duran, Abreu, even like Valdez, I think all these guys are in play. You're just kind of playing for Carrasco struggling with command in this spot and taking advantage of that. And I mean, it's not like the Red Sox or anything to write home about. I'm a Red Sox fan. And they're just a team that they're not like overly, their ceiling, it seems to be kind of capped, but still some good major league hitters in this lineup. So don't mind that. If you guys enjoy the Plate IQ portion, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. For everyone not watching live too, if you'd like me to like screen share Plate IQ on bigger slates when we have guests on too, because I could do that. I mean, I love showing off this tool. I think everyone should have premium and check this tool out. And you could really dig into a lot more with this tool too. I've talked about it many, many times. You can get into like the pitch type stuff. You can really kind of dig into the bullpen stats. Like, hey, look at Cleveland's bullpen. They look absolutely fantastic, right? Like, you're looking at their K rates, their ISOs way down, their WOBA. So, I mean, who's a bad bull? Oh, Colorado. Colorado has a bad bullpen this year. So we go to Colorado. And we go to their bullpen. Look at their bullpen stats. Just absolutely awful, right? 17% Ks, 14% walks, 350 WOBA, giving up a lot of hard contact, not generating any swinging strikes. So, yeah, I mean, this is just some of the stuff that you can look into, especially on these bigger slates. And you're gonna find stuff where you'd have to look through like 15 other pages, and you could do it all with one tool. And you can like go into like team stats and look at team stats and really kind of get an idea of, you know, projections and, you know, park upgrades and the weather and stuff, and really kind of look at who's that team, right? Like, we all kind of knew it, right? The Dodgers against the Nationals on Wednesday slate. They were the team, right? Like, that was the team you definitely wanted to attack. They had the highest home run projected, home runs, their fantasy points, their run total, all that stuff. So it doesn't always work out. But I mean, Philadelphia on the late slate against Felter, like, we stacked that as much as we possibly could with Schwarber and those guys, and they absolutely smashed Ryan Felter. And again, like the Colorado bullpen we just talked about. So yeah, I mean, if you enjoy these, definitely leave a comment, like the video. I keep showing off all those comments to the high ups here at Roto Grinders, and they'll keep letting me do this. So if you like it, make sure you comment below. And again, I posted in chat. I'll post it again for you all. You can get a 3-day combo trial over there with our media stuff. I think it's like $19.99 you can get it for the combo for like 3 days. So again, you could try it out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get three really good slates on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I just broke down this Plate IQ slate for you. You get our projections and lineup HQ as part of that. And again, lineup HQ is phenomenal, but Plate IQ is where it's at. Like, you can really dig into stuff. So hashtag ad, and let's play the morning grind game. See if you guys can guess my morning grind answers today. Okay, so we're not going to put a price point on the strikeouts, who I think can get six or more. I think the rookie making his debut, I think Jack Leader has the highest strikeout upside on the slate. I think he still gives up some runs. And like I said, he definitely struggles with the long ball. So you're concerned about the long ball, but strikeouts, just man, oh man, the strikeouts are what you're attacking here. And then under or kind of bust under 15, it's kind of cheating, but I'm going to go Kentai Maeda. I think this is a really, really rough spot for Kentai Maeda, so I'm going to pass on him. Over 4K to go yard in this one. Man, I mean, there's so many options, but going back to this Texas team, right? Like, I just talked about how I want to fade Maeda. I feel like the home run has to come from like one of these guys. And looking at the numbers again, like Kentai Maeda this year, just not missing right-handed bats, 52% hard hits, 385 ISO, 10% Ks, and a 13% barrel rate. Give me Adolis Garcia today. I think this is a fantastic spot for him. And I think this is a guy that has major upside in this matchup. Get going. Like, he needs to get going. Has not hit a home run since the 5th of April. So this is a really good spot against Kentai Maeda for Adolis Garcia to get going. So, I mean, I think this is a guy you want some exposure to. All this stuff updates tomorrow. You can go through and you can look at, like, who guys correlate really well with Adolis Garcia. And, I did call the Jock and Carpenter home runs. Carpenter home run, and I wish I would have played more. I played 100 lineups, and I had some really good Mets stack, man. I had some good Mets stacks that had Bader and Tyrone, right? I think that was his name. I don't remember his name. What was his name? Who's in the lineup? Tyrone Taylor, yeah. So, Bader, I did a lot of, like, three-mans on Wednesday's slate with Alvarez, Taylor, and Bader. And Alvarez stole a base, and Taylor had like 15, and Bader hit a home run and just didn't have the right combos with them. And I had tons of Arizona, Dodgers, and Cubs with those like Mets three-man, and it just didn't work out. My under 4K to get two hits today. I mean, I kind of like one of these Red Sox bats. I will say, like, they're not like super cheap, but, you know, I mean, I'm going to go with Yoshida here. Got the day off on Wednesday. Give me Yoshida to get two hits today in my stack to score six or more runs. I'm going to go the Rangers. Again, I don't believe in Kentai Maeda at all. And the way that he's been struggling, I just think this is a bad spot. I like the Red Sox stack too, because of Carrasco's like walk issues. Start walking people in Fenway and struggling with command in Fenway. You could have a really long day or really short outing, which we kind of want to see. The Brewers game today, man. Just King pitched really well. Watched a lot of that game. and the Brewers were chasing. Like, he had good movement on his stuff. And I'll say, like, Gausman pitched well, right? Like, Gausman, he didn't necessarily, I don't know if I'd say pitch well, but his velocity was back up. It was a really interesting Wednesday slate. I got a lot right, but got a lot wrong. And the right didn't outweigh the wrong. It didn't work out. Severino even had a really decent game, but just missed on some bets. So, no bets standing out to me. There's no player props up yet, and none of these lines are, like, jumping off. If anything, I mean, I would take the Texas money line. You're getting them at even money. I mean, I'm going to actually bet that right now because, like, very rarely are we going to get a Texas-Detroit game where – so I'm paying 105, minus 105. They are minus 105 against Kenta Maeda. So give me the Texas Rangers money line. I like that one. That's going to change. That's not going to be the same in the morning. So if you're watching live, jump on that now if you want to jump on that. I hope everyone enjoyed the Played IQ breakdown. I do enjoy doing these. Like I said, if you like them, leave a comment below. And we're back tomorrow. We got a big slate on Friday. And Mr. Chief Justice 06 will be joining me on Friday as always. If you're not watching live, head on over to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications and come hang out with us. Brian, Yeezy, Dave, Scott, all kinds of people hanging out in YouTube chat tonight. So appreciate everyone. Hope you have a fantastic Thursday, and we'll see you again on Friday.